ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय माम
केशव
गरया प्रातर अव्याद गोविंद असंगवम आथ वेणुः नारायण
ब्राह्मण
उदात शक्तिर मध्यान दिने विष्णुर
आरिंद्रा
हानि मम केशव गरय प्रातरव्याद गोविंद असंगवम आथ वेणु नारायण प्राण उदात्त शक्ति मध्यान दिने विष्णुरारिंद्र पाणि Mom, me, Keshava,
Lord Keshava,
Garaya,
by his club,
Prataha, in the morning hours,
Avyata,
may he protect.
Govindaha,
Lord Govinda, Asangavam, during the second part of the day, Attavenuhu,
holding his flute,
Narayana,
Lord Narayana,
with four hands.
Prahna,
during the third part of the day.
Udatta Shaktihi,
controlling different types of potencies.
Madhyam Dine,
during the fourth part of the day.
Vishnuhu,
Lord Vishnu.
Arindra,
Anihi,
bearing the disc
in his hand
to kill the enemies.
Translation.
May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day.
May Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day.
May Lord Narayana, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day.
And may Lord Vishnu, who carries the disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day.
Purport.
According to Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 32 ghatikas, 24 minutes, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and night is divided into six parts consisting of five ghatikas. In each of these six portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day, and Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion.
So the Lord himself, then, in all knowledge, there's only Krishna to be known. There's nothing else to be known. So all aspects of knowledge, whatever there is all coming from the Lord. So the Lord manifests as time, then we see here described, according to the times of the day, and then the different incarnations that he manifests in these different times. So everything is connected to the Lord. So here time is being connected. So all aspects. In previous verses, we talked about the Ayurveda with Dhanvantari. We talked about proper behavior, you know, from the Lord, Rishikesh, control of the senses from Sanat Kumar, being protected from, you know, unruly street people. Then was from Varaha with his tusks, because he deals with low-class people, like that. So everything is connected to the Lord. So we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that everything is very nicely connected. So here we see the astrological calculations. They have been, are shown, being used in the Lord's service. So many times in the activities in the universe, people have been putting on kavachas, or they've been protecting themselves in so many different ways. But why this is in the Bhagavatam is because this protection is completely in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see here that Vishwarup, being a proper Brahman, was recognizing the supremacy of the Lord, and that he is actually in everything, and that everything is being controlled by him. So then here, then the different times of the day are also being dealt with. So the time starts with Keshava from Mathura, because this is where Krishna made his appearance. So this is always, the time is always in relationship with the Lord. So he started, Mathura is where he appears, and then from there, then the pastimes move. So Mathura, or the Lord of Mathura, Keshava, that is, he is the first in the calculation. We also find in the calculating the year that the Vedic month starts in the month of November. That's known as the Keshava month. So one may wonder, what is the significance of that time of the year? You know, because the Lord didn't appear at that time. And we don't find that it's like when the sun starts going towards the north, when it becomes the auspicious time of the year. Or it is the beginning of the, it is the harvest season, like now we've just had Vaishak. So this is, for many cultures in India, is the first of the year, because that's when all the harvest comes. So that's when life starts, you know, you have something to eat, like that. So why this time? What is special here? Because in the calculation, then that is when the Lord wakes up. He sleeps during the Chaturmas. Means the 1 year of the humans is one day and night of the demigods. So the Lord takes rest in the evening and then wakes up in the morning before the sunrise, or when the Uttarayana starts. He's already 2 months ahead, so he's waking up early in Brahma Muhurta, according to the demigods. So the year starts then, when the Lord rises, and the Lord, and it ends when, you know, with the Lord's night. So in the last part of the night when he's resting, and that then, that is the month of Damodar. And then when he wakes up, then that is Keshava. So then here, also then the different parts of the day, then he's taking also, when the day starts, here is Keshava, and then going through the day like this, our own day, and these different parts. So in the Vedic calculation, then everything is divided into these Gatikas, 24 minutes, and then two Gatikas will make a Muhurta. So your different Muhurtas then are very auspicious for various activities and that. And then in that, then you have so many Muhurtas will make up a... Yeah, five Gatikas means 2.5 Muhurtas. Then you'll get one portion of the day. So in this way, there are six portions of the day. Also, it can be divided up. This is, how you say, this is the main division. You can also divide it according to 30 minutes and Muhurta, or that's called, I think, a danda. So the dandas are 30 minutes, and one can calculate in that way, or one can use the gatikas and with 24 minutes. So this way you get these two different aspects. So all these sciences are bona fide. It's very important to understand that the astrological sciences, the medical sciences, the science of culture, as he went through in the Kavacha, that he will not he'll be protected from not following the Vedic culture or following improper aspects of the Vedic culture, or out of laziness not following, or out of madness not following, all these different aspects. So it's all bona fide. And it has very great significance as far as how to conduct one's, you know, just day-to-day activities. But it must always be remembered that if the Lord is not remembered in these activities, then it's all useless. That is the thing. This is always the interesting point of our philosophy, that the astrological science is a very pukka science. It's one of the Vedic hard sciences. Sanskrit, astronomy, ritual, these are hard sciences, that they are very exacting and they're very technical, and they always function, and you can exactly calculate according to these things. Because there's no, it's just according to one's expertise. Nothing is left out. So in this, then, we have to see that it enhances our remembering the Lord, because this is where it's come from. The point is this, the essence of the philosophy is to always remember Krishna, never to forget. That is the essence. From there, one expands. Right? The fundamental principles can never be dropped while getting into detail. Like you have fundamental details of, let's say, engineering. That as you start building the building, you can never leave those fundamentals and do something that is engineeringly improper. Otherwise, the building will collapse. So these fundamental principles of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, and performing all our activities for him, can never be forgotten. So this is the first thing to be learned. And we see this is the first thing that Prabhupada gave. Everybody knew that they should serve Krishna, worship Krishna, chant Krishna's name. This was the process, we're Krishna's servant. The goal is love of Krishna. And that, even the person fresh off the street, doesn't know anything, they learn this. Then one follows that. Now, if one can accommodate more details and still remember this, fine. Then it just becomes more refined. The interactions, the activities become more and more, you know, detailed on the mundane platform. And they very nicely address then the conditioned nature of the living entity. Right? Living entity is always worried about what is good and what is bad. So then time is also divided into good and bad. So you have to establish when are good and bad times by establishing the different times of the day through these different gatikas. Then you can say in these different constellations or different positions of the moon or the different nakshatras or so many things, then this is good or bad for certain activities. So then this makes the conditioned nature very happy. Conditioned nature is used to doing things in this way, what is good and what is bad. Now, that is fine that one takes up refining in this way, as long as one can remember that this is science is coming from the Lord, time is coming from the Lord, all the different activities are coming from the Lord. So now you're doing things in proper times for the Lord's satisfaction. Right? I do things at a good time because whatever I do is for Krishna's satisfaction. So this way then there'll be a good result for Krishna. Like that. But Krishna is the controller. So therefore, if even though I try to arrange things at a nice time, and it doesn't happen at a nice time, it doesn't matter. Because it's going to go the way Krishna wants it to go anyway. And the result is his, and he's not attached to it. So he's not necessarily attached to a good result. But we are. So he may have something that we need to learn by not giving us a good result. Right? And in this way, then we become purified. So, these things, this is the whole science. That's why the Gita says, ultimately that the pure devotees don't care for auspicious or inauspicious. Because whatever it is, it's done for Krishna. If the result is good, it's for Krishna. If the result is not good, then still we do our best to do whatever we can for Krishna. So this is a very important point in here, is that all these things are there and they're bona fide. But as long as they're in connection with Krishna and they assist in remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. So instead of just thinking of what time of the day it is, if we can remember Krishna by knowing, oh, this is this muhurta or that, and it's very, so many qualities are there, all these qualities, how they come from Krishna and that, then it becomes very, very nice. But if one can't, one gets so absorbed in these things and gets so overwhelmed by auspicious, inauspicious, that one doesn't remember the Lord, what's the use? There's no use. We've learned nicely, we've become expert, but unfortunately, all the Vedic sciences won't attract Krishna. It's affection that will. So if out of affection we remember, just like the gopis, they see a black tree, they remember Krishna. Right? They see a body of water, they think of the Jamuna. So they, out of their affection for Krishna and that direct relationship, they remember everything directly like that. We're in the material world, we think of everything according to our health, according to the times, according to the profit that we're going to get. So therefore Krishna gives us the sciences of Ayurveda and medicine, of all the astrological timings, and of economics and the Arthashastras, so that, because this is our interest, this is where our mind sits all day, so now you can see it in relationship to Krishna. And so it's a stepping stone. The Sanskrit calls it Udipan, means something in which you, by seeing, you remember Krishna, like that. So then, in this way, everything is made into a science, or an art in which one can remember Krishna. So if one takes it in that way, then it's very nice. We see Prabhupada talks about these sciences very favorably. And at other times, he'll completely write them off. Because if you use them to remember Krishna, they're useful. If we use them to forget Krishna, what's the use? It's not any better that we are very expert in these Vedic sciences, or great Sanskrit scholars or astrologers or whatever we may be, you know, we know the rituals so nicely, if we don't remember Krishna. Then better we're just some simple person. Prabhupada said, better a simple sweeper of the street than a charlatan, you know, big spiritualist or big pundit, like that. So this point seems to be present here. Are there any questions or yes?
I have one question. What if a devotee is a faithful devotee in Krishna consciousness and he, instead of, say, relying at any given moment or particular time on any, as you discussed, these what sciences, whether it be astrology or vastu or whatever it is, he just feels that, I'll just chant Hare Krishna and pray to Krishna, and Krishna will naturally see through everything. Is there any fault in that? Or is there any deficiency? If that be the case, of course one has to be, you know, it's not so easy to be a faithful devotee.
Yes, no, that's best. If one can do that, that's fine. Because Krishna mentions that the second option, if you can't just remember him constantly, spontaneously, is to engage in sadhana bhakti. So if we just stick to the principles of hearing and chanting, remembering, and the different activities of worshipping the Lord and the association of the devotees, then that's fine. But for those times of the day or activities in which we don't remember the Lord, then these various sciences become useful to help us in that. Just like the science of marriage, according to the Dharma Shastras, is that if one finds that that's a necessary situation, then those different activities, those rules and regulations help us remember the Lord in those situations.
You know, so whatever it is, whatever, if we are worried about we're eating, we're worried about our health, then the different aspects of Ayurveda will help us remember the Lord. That's what they're for. It's supposed to be, Krishna has given this science. It's come from Krishna. And therefore, even though I'm very caught up in what I'm eating, how I'm eating it, you know, like that, but I can remember the Lord in that. Though it's not so direct. Always best is the most direct is the best. So this is like the third, the following the aspects of the rules and regulations of the culture, the Varnashram. That's the third stage. So it's better than nothing. It's better than forgetting the Lord. But if one can just chant Hare Krishna and remember whatever the situation, then that's the best. That's the ideal. Yes.
As one's going to Vaikuntha Bhakti, the Sadhana Bhakti, So as you're doing that, hopefully you're getting some glimpses of some spontaneous kinds of realization. So until we're on that complete spontaneous platform, it's a Vaikuntha platform. So it seems sometimes as you're trying to do Vaikuntha, and you're also getting some realization that sometimes there's like some flash, some difference that Krishna may want to try to do something. Or want something in a particular way, and they're trying to meet a certain time frame or some aspect of the body. So, how do we understand the technical part of that realization?
If I understand the question, let me just. Is that while we're performing Vaidhi Bhakti, then we're trying to do things according to the rules and in the proper time, but sometimes things don't work according to the time, especially in India. Like that. So then how do we balance that understanding? Is that one always tries to do according to the time, because that's especially in Vaidhi and deity worship, time is the most very important. Time and cleanliness. But still, both of those are to please the Lord. So we please the Lord through doing those nicely. But we must always remember that the purpose of them is to please the Lord. So just we're on time, if we forget the Lord, that's not so pleasing. If we remember the Lord that He wants it on time, so to please Him I'm doing it on time, then that's better. That's of standard. And then eventually you come to the point is that you want to please Krishna. So He likes it done at this time, so it'll be done at this time. So you get these different levels. You know, and worst of course is one doesn't care. One doesn't care for the time and one is not trying to please Krishna. Like that. But still one has to be very careful is that if the sadhana is very proper, that one doesn't become proud and thinks it's my ability. Otherwise, it has been seen that some who are very expert at sadhana bhakti have also somehow or another compromised their position because of pride. You know, they were very critical of everyone else rather than trying to help them. They were expert at it so they could help others, but they became critical of others like that. So it's one. So definitely India has the speciality of testing the time element, like that. The time element, the tolerance element, the humility element, a lot of elements. Prabhupada said that, he always mentioned that it's, you know, heard different degrees, but some time in India, so like 1 year in India is 10 years in the West, or 6 months is 1 year, like this. I know that those who are in India, their moving up in position was always quicker, their initiations came quicker, everything. Because if you could somehow or another tolerate it, then you moved quicker. Anything else?
Is it necessary for one to come to the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti and go back to Godhead?
Is it important for one to come to the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti before going back to Godhead? Is it necessary? It is highly recommended. Because, see, Raganuga means following in the footsteps of Rag. Rag means attachment. So Raganuga, like Rupanuga means following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So Raganuga means following in the footsteps of those who have pure attachment for Krishna.
which means the residents of Vrindavan. So they are on the platform of Rag. So at some point we have to come to the platform where we aspire to be able to serve like they do, have that surrender, that service attitude, like we see, you know, the example in Nectar Devotion, like Raktaka. He's serving Krishna, fanning Krishna. And from fanning, then all kinds of ecstatic symptoms are manifesting in his body. And then tears are coming in his eyes, he's becoming stunned, he can't see Krishna, he can't fan Krishna. So he's cursing these ecstatic symptoms because they're getting in the way of his service. So his attachment for Krishna is more than the happiness gained from devotional service. So the example is given that this is a proper standard, is that our happiness is secondary to Krishna's happiness. So these kind of desiring to develop these attitudes, that is the essence of the Raganuga. So that platform has to be obtained. But whether it's obtained in the realm of sadhana or whether it's obtained in the realm of bhava, it doesn't matter. Either can go like that. Because for us, in any case, while we're in the realm of sadhana, or in any case in the realm of preaching, we will always perform the activities of Vaidhi. They'll always be seen. Because Vaidhi and Raganuga, externally you can't tell the difference. They look exactly the same. Some try to make Raganuga into a Vaidhi, where it has its rules. And therefore has to be done in certain ways, but, you know, externally. But we see that Rupa Goswami, it doesn't work like that. It means already the basic principles of Vaidhi, Raganuga sadhana, which are, means Vaidhi is very broad. Then within Vaidhi, there's five rules that should not be performed in Raganuga. Right? That's Dwarka Dhyanam, means meditation on Dwarka. Puja of Rukmini in that Dwarka Dhyanam, wearing of kus grass rings, putting nyas upon our body, and using mudras when you're offering items to the deity. So have we ever heard of Prabhupada giving us any of those? No. So then he's already given us the Vaidhi sadhana that's already compatible to Raganuga. So now the only difference that will remain is on whether we are just doing it because it's a rule, or we're doing it because it pleases Krishna. Right? And in doing that to please Krishna, then the, as we advance in that, that we're doing it trying to follow in the footsteps of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Not that we sit around and flap our arms and say that we're a peacock. That's not Raganuga. But we take the mood of those of Vrindavan. Right? Just like Rupanuga doesn't mean that we become Rupa Goswami. We put on some little cloth and go sit down under a tree in there where Rupanuga is. No. We follow in the mood of Rupa. That becomes Raganuga. Rupanuga. So Raganuga means you take the mood of those devotees. Like that. So that comes naturally as we become purified. It's a natural process. Though one must be conscious of it. Right? But that's the whole point, is become conscious of Krishna. Prabhupada's given so much information to become conscious of Krishna at any moment. Like that. So the more we study it, the more we associate with devotees, the more we perform our service, the more we will become conscious, and we will find very naturally, by associating with Prabhupada and the pure devotees that are mentioned in the books by this Vani, and by associating with devotees we find more serious than ourselves, this platform comes very naturally. Like that. So it is necessary, but it's not artificially obtained. Okay. Anything else? Or we'll end here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandini.